Well, I'd like to thank you very much for this opportunity to speak about this topic. Actually, I grabbed the opportunity, so sorry if you didn't want me. But because I didn't know anything about this, and a lot of people, when I talk to them about prophecy and things like that, they know, I'm very conscious of the fact that I know very little. I've never actually been interested in it, actually. And I find it much more interesting to think about Jesus and how we live our relationships and things like that. To me, that's what I've always been interested in, you know, how he wins people to him and how he blesses us with the words that he says, and I find that really interesting. But I've always been conscious of the fact that I'm very ignorant about, you know, Ezekiel 38 and Revelation and I sort of hope they're not going to ask me what I think about them, because I'll just have to say, well, actually I've never really thought about it. So when we came to this topic, I thought I'd like to do this one, or a section. So I'm only part of today, and I don't have any, I'm starting from scratch. And so I just started reading some books, and I only really read one book. I was going to read a couple, but I only got into one because I found it so interesting I had to go back and read it again. And then I watched a DVD of the information on the prophecy night, the prophecy day that Riverwood ran. And so they're my two topics I'm going to talk to you about, and I've got a little summary of them for you. And so this is, I would say, probably typical Christadelphian comments on the topic. Okay, so I'm starting from that. And so I'm going to be interested in, because I know Robin's got a different view, and Mitch's got a different view. So you're going to get mine, which is based on people, okay? So I just want to say that I've really enjoyed all this about Nebuchadnezzar's image, and the fact that it's written up in the Bible. People through the ages, well, ever since we got the printing press, I suppose, but probably before that, the people who had the documents, have been wondering about what's been written about that. You know, all about the Assyria, the Babylon, and then the Persia, and then the Greece, and then the Rome. And people of every age and era have been hoping to see the stone coming out of the mountain, and so that they can witness the establishment of God's kingdom. And I think this was God's purpose in telling us about that image, so that people through the ages could wonder about when it was going to be brought to its fulfillment, and look for the signs that maybe it was going to be in their time. And I think that's what's given a lot of people a lot of hope about that, what they believe. Okay, so I'm going to start, as I said, with the book that I read. I've got this map up there, which I think is important, because I learned a lot of geography as well. I'll start with what's written down here. I'll get to the map in a minute. So this was a book I read. This is the book by Graham Bacon, Campaigns of the Kingdom. You can see it's quite small. I like small books because I feel I can deal with them, and they're not hard to carry, especially in trains and things like that. And it's got a lot of information in it. And so he's got the idea that there are five campaigns that lead up to the establishment of God's kingdom. And we're living in this time, which I find these toes a bit sort of scary. But it's interesting because, you know, it's the end time. This is the end of, what's the end of the image? And so this is the end of the time of the when man will do things in the world, and then, of course, then the kingdom comes after that. And we're living in the time of the feet and the toes. And over my lifetime, and over a lot of your lifetimes, we've seen a lot about what is happening with God's people and his land, and the involvement of the other major world powers in all that. Now, there's been a preparatory phase. I don't know, I've lived through it. Well, I haven't lived through the Zionist movement. It started off with the Zionist movement, okay? When the Jews are scattered all throughout the world because of all that's happened to them. And then there was the Zionist movement. That's AD 97. Then there was the Balfour Declaration. We all know all this, but it's all listed in this book if you ever wanted to do that, you know, trace the history of it. It's all in there. Then in 1948, that's in my life, the State of Israel was proclaimed. And I would imagine that I was a child, but I would imagine that all the Christadelphians and a lot of other religious people would have been very, very excited about that. And then since then, at the time there was a war of independence, and Jerusalem was then divided into Arab East and Jewish West, and had a wall like the Berlin Wall. And that was just after that 1948 declaration. But in 1956, now I remember NASA. Remember NASA? Mm-hmm. He closed the Suez Canal in the naval blockade of Israel. And then, in that war, Syria, Egypt and Jordan were against Israel, and they were defeated. So now I'll refer to the map. So, I'm sorry if you can't see it, but I'll move around if you can. Okay, so here we go. You know we're first here. And so, Syria, Jordan, and who did I say?
Egypt.
Of course, NASA was from Egypt, okay? So these people, all around Israel, made war on Israel. And NASA said, he took control of the Syrian and Jordanian army. So he's Egypt, he took over them. And he announced that this will be total war. Our basic aim is the destruction of Israel. Very blatant and out there. And there were massive odds against Israel. Because they had prepared and Israel wasn't prepared. But Israel crushed them with horrendous loss of Arab lives. And then you remember they took the Golan Heights from Syria. Mm. So they took the bit up the north here. And then they took, the Sinai Peninsula, this bit here, and from Egypt, and from Jordan, here, they took back the half of the city of Israel, Jerusalem, that they didn't have before. And they still have those, they gave back the Sinai, and it's very interesting because that was never part of God's plan for them to have that part of the land. They gave back that in I think it was in the next war. I don't know, but anyway, sometime. The next war, I remember the next war was the 1973, the Yom Kippur War, and it started unexpectedly on the Day of Atonement. And this was a war of attrition for those countries to get back the lands that they'd lost. And it was Sadat. Remember Sadat?
Mm-hmm.
And Golda Meir. Mm-hmm. She was such a wonderful woman, and she went, that was a very surprise attack, that one, and she apparently went to America and got money, so she would, they won that war again, quite amazing. And then, that's what I've got here, Israel handed Sinai back then, and then they had those Camp David Accords, you remember Jimmy Carter and Sadat, and then later Sadat was assassinated by a Muslim extremist for what he had done by making a treaty with Israel. But still today, the conflicts with the Arabs continue. Why, after the successes of these desert wars, is Israel still going through such traumas with the Palestinians? You hear about it all the time, although not so much lately, which I find quite interesting. Graham Bacon suggests that the Palestinians, who are the latter-day Edomites, have been so against God and his people that God really wants to see them utterly destroyed. And the second idea, he says that in seeking to interfere in Jerusalem, the international community is going to be confronted by their own folly, and the proclamation of the kingdom will have a wider impact when more nations are sort of involved somehow by trade or by agreements, that they will see more. So we're sort of waiting for the time. Now, it's really interesting because Graham thought that Jesus Christ's advent is not tied to any event still to take place. Okay? So that if we see a threat to Jerusalem, he says, maybe Jesus is here already. So that's...
Wow.
I'm sort of thinking, well, how will I know? That's something for us to think about, maybe talk about later. Okay, so I'm going to give you a little summary now. This is a little take-home sheet. I don't know if you like take-home sheets, but I do. Because even though I stick them in the Bible after the talk today, I come across them a few days later and think, oh, yes, I remember that. Okay, so have a look at this. We're looking at this page first. Some of them didn't come out too well, sorry. So I put the map on there because I think the map is quite interesting and it's relevant to Graham's ideas about the how he thinks the stages of the conflict will go.
Can you need some more of this?
Okay, so we're just looking at the campaigns. So these are the summary. This is my talk is supposed to be quite short. I think it will be. I sort of spent a lot of time on the lead-in, but now I tend to just talk on and on. Now, so you can see. Campaign one is Israel's neighbours. So he's got the idea, you can see that it's these people who are already, we've already had the conflict with them. Okay, the one I told you about, with all the desert wars, was sort of the aftermath of that is still going on with the conflict with the Palestinians that are living in the occupied territories in Israel. And that's always going to be there until something happens to resolve that. Could we have a reading about the number one reading? Who was that, Joan? So she's going to read. Will you tell us what reference it was? I haven't got it written down here.
Isaiah 63 from verse.
This is about Edom.
From verse 7.
Remember, Edom is Esau. So this goes way back.
Yeah,
it goes way back. To Esau. It's amazing. Okay, yeah. Go to him. Thank you.
Isaiah 63, commencing at verse 7. I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their saviour. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Then his people recalled the days of old, the days of Moses and his people, where is he who brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who set his Holy Spirit among them? Who sent his glorious arm of power to be at Moses' right hand? Who divided the waters before them to gain for himself everlasting renown? Who led them through the depths? Like a horse in the country, they did not stumble. his cattle, like cattle that go down to the plain. They were given rest by the Spirit of the Lord. This is how you guided your people to make yourself a glorious name.
Thank you. So, it's so interesting that all the Bible and all the Jewish Bible is all about this, and now we have all these unbelieving Jews still winning their wars with their enemies, and many of them not really knowing that God is in it all. Now, so that's about Edom and Esau. So it goes way back in history. There's another little reference to Lebanon, which is this idea that Graham has, that these people in the initial campaigns, and then it goes out into a bigger sort of area. So can we just have the reference number two about Tyre and Sidon? This is a reference against Tyre and Sidon, which are in Lebanon, which you can see on your map is just above Israel. Yes. Thank you.
Ezekiel 28:24. When that happens, the people of Israel will no longer have cruel neighbours that abuse them and make them feel as though they are in field thorns and briars. And the Israelites will know that I, the Lord God, have done these things. The Lord God said, someday I will gather the people of Israel from the nations where they are now scattered, and every nation will see that I am holy. The Israelites will once again live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob. They will be safe and will build houses and plant vineyards. They will no longer be in danger because I will punish their hateful neighbours. Israel will know that I am the Lord their God.
Thank you. So that's the other description about the neighbours, the close neighbours that are part of this freeing of the people of Israel. As you can see, campaign number two on the little list across there is Iraq. That's Graham's idea. So Iraq is here. Now, Iraq is... what's interesting about Iraq is... that he thinks that this is going to be another group of people that will fight against Israel. Now, what's interesting about Iraq is that, see here, Mosul.
Mm.
Right there. Very close, really, to Israel. Like, really, not that far. What we hear about Mosul all the time. Aleppo is even closer. Aleppo is here in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
So on this map you can sort of see how close all this action in the Middle East is. Mm. And the fact that we've got troops over there, America's got troops over there, and all this action with ISIS is all happening here.
And Russia's helping to bomb.
That's right, and Russia is part of the bombing.
And supplying arms to the Syrian government.
And Russia is up here somewhere, okay? So it's all very interesting, and that's what I found out reading this book. I found very, very interesting. So campaign three, I don't know much about that. I'm just pointing out what I know. Sometimes I didn't really get what he was saying about Iraq. Anyway, campaign number three is Gog and his friends, and he's got this idea that, as I said, that it all happens here, and then it goes outer in a bigger area. So, who's got the reading about
me.
Number three? Yeah,
me.
Thanks, Annette.
I've got the Message Bible, so my verses might be a bit messy.
Yeah.
39:1, Son of Man, prophesy against Gog. Say, a message of God the Master. I'm against you, Gog, head of Meshach and Tubal. I'm going to turn you around and drag you out of the far north and down on the mountains of Israel. I'm assuming that's the end of two.
Yeah. Just let me say that. So Gog is the king of the north, and the mountains, you know, this is Golan Heights, I presume. Just in the north?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks,
Annie. Okay. But now I will return Jacob back from exile. I'll be compassionate with all the people of Israel. I'll be jealous for my holy name. Eventually the memory will fade, the memory of their shame over their betrayals of me when they live securely in their own land, safe and unafraid. Once I've brought them out from foreign parts, gathered them in from enemy territories, I'll use them to demonstrate my holiness with all the nations watching. Then they'll realise for sure that I am their God. For even though I sent them off into exile, I will gather them back to their own land, leaving not one soul behind. After I've poured my spirit on Israel, filled them with my life, I'll no longer turn away. I'll look them full in the face. Decree of God the Master.
Thanks, Annette. So here we have the thing about the king of the north and the neighbours and all the world watching. And I think we're sort of seeing that all the world is watching.
You know
why we're watching, especially. I mean, everyone got used to the Middle East thing, but now Russia's involved as well.
Yeah.
And we all used to say, oh, you know, Russia. Before, then we dropped the Russia thing. Actually, there's a very interesting thing. If you Google any of these things, you'll find a whole lot of stuff on the internet. A lot of people don't think Russia's going to be involved now. And I read something where actually that word Rosh, just because it sounds like Russia, doesn't mean it's Russia. It means it's a leader from the north. So we've got...
And yesterday, Russia told all their people who live abroad to come home.
I know.
And yes. Nobody knows why.
No. There's things going on in Russia that we don't know anything about. That happened yesterday. The diplomatic, relatives of diplomats are all being brought home. And all Russia's diplomat people are getting home. And now, so Russia... Anyway, let's just leave it like that. Some people say it's Russia. A lot of people say it's not Russia. But they also think it's Turkey. So the people who say it's not Russia think it's probably Turkey. Now, Turkey's got the border with Russia, okay? Well, Turkey's here and Russia's up there. And they think now that maybe Russia will come into Turkey and then that nation will. But it's probably still Russia. But they say it's not connected to the word Rosh. Anyway. So anyway, so you can see from that picture there that this is Graham's idea that all these people are going to be involved in this conflict, the outer ring of Israel's enemies. And he says it's Russia, East Turkey, Iran, Sudan and Ethiopia and Libya, as are listed in Ezekiel 38. And it says the inner ring of Israel's belligerent neighbours, also shown on this map, are not featured in Ezekiel 38. He says God will have dealt with them when the Gobian invasion of the mountains of Israel occurs. So when these people get involved, Gog will have already come down into the mountains of Israel. Now campaign number four is when Graham says the kings, 10 kings of Western Europe under the deception of the Roman religion, have a united force against the Lord Jesus Christ. So in all this, he thinks Jesus Christ will have been on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he says we see all the elements of these four campaigns in the current political situation in the Middle East. And campaign number five, he is not too sure about campaign number five, and he admits it. He says... the remaining opponents of whatever they are. He says the prophetical words are not very clear about that, but that's sort of, it's actually the cleaning up of all opposition before the establishment of the kingdom. Very figurative language. Anyway, that's his idea, roughly, okay, about how things will go through the years. Now, this is just another interesting idea, and on the back, you will see an outline. Do you have it on the back?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Of Don Pierce's talk. Now, just listen to me for a bit because I'm going to say all that, but you'll know you've got a summary there.
Okay, so Don Pierce was this guy who came out from England, this Elfin guy, and he was he offered a prophecy session run by River with Ecclesia. And a few people went to it, and I borrowed Lois's copy of the DVD and watched that, and I made a bit of a summary of that. So he had some very interesting things and made it even more pertinent at the time. It's funny because now it's different. At the time, the Brexit was the big thing, and everyone was talking about Brexit, and so we don't know what that's got to do. If you think Europe is going to be involved in some of these conflicts, then it's obviously got some, but a lot of people don't think Europe is going to be, nor America, nor China, nor any of those people. It's all going to be here. A lot of people think it's just going to be here again, as it's all God's people, God's wishes always, God's dealings have always been with these people.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so we don't know why people talk about
other places
actually. Mm-hmm. But anyway, a lot of people do think that Europe's going to, and this man did think this. And he also outlined the stepping stones to get there. He talks about Russia again. He says that he featured Russia, and Russia's in the news, so I'm mentioning a few things. In this year, this current year, Netanyahu met with Putin in June because there's some interest from Russia in the gas fields off the coast of Israel. Another just interesting fact, just to think about with this thoughts. You know the revelation. I don't know the revelation, okay? It's all just been a mystery to me. But I was talking to someone who said, you know, all the churches, you know the churches in the Revelation? They're all in Turkey. All of them. In Turkey alone. And there's some view that all the other aspects of the Revelation are to do with Israel. So this is about, you know, the prostitute and all that. It's actually related to Israel. So somehow there's the Christians in Turkey, or Christians, the representative Christians in Turkey, in a land outside of Israel, and all the rest of the world. Some of the speakers today might have ideas about that. So, this is really interesting. If you look through the summary that I've got on number two, that's Don Pierce's number two talk, Brexit, Europe and the Vatican. He somehow thinks the Vatican is involved. That's because a lot of people have thought that the Catholic Church is part of the Revelation story, but many people don't think that. So he said many are waiting to see the sign of Jesus returns when Russia comes to take Jerusalem. This is going to happen, but Jesus will be back by then.
And that's what Graham says. There's two brethren who actually agree.
Mm-hmm. And he thinks it's maybe 10 years. In this period of 10 years, that's what he thinks will happen. Return of Jesus Christ, there'll be the peace and safety. Peace and safety is now, but maybe it'll continue. I don't know. Elijah, he mentions. I don't understand Elijah, so maybe someone could enlighten me about that. The Gog forces invade Israel, and Jerusalem's taken and Jews are scattered, and then there's Armageddon. And then after 40 years, or in the period of 40 years, so Jews accept Jesus as Messiah, kingdom is established, Jews are regathered, there's a war in Europe. And then he notes this, he's looked into this and he thinks about this. I don't know, this is his idea. 40 years plus 10 years is 50 years, and that's a Jubilee period. If you want to check that, that's in Leviticus. And then we all know that. There were Sabbath, trumpets, holy convocation. 10 days later, there's a Day of Atonement. And then he says, maybe when all this has happened, there's the future, actually, there'll be the resurrection, gathering of saints, 10 days later, the salvation of Israel. So he's got that idea that actually there's going to be the resurrection and saints thing, and then 10 days later, the Day of Atonement, when there's a salvation of Israel. So don't look for invasion of Israel, rather the arrival of Jesus Christ the Messiah.
Wow.
He wonders whether 2017 is a special year. It was 1967 was when Jews took Jerusalem back. 50 years later is 2017. Just to notice that Jesus Christ is here for the Battle of Armageddon. The rest is all a bit the same, except he thinks, as I said, he and Graham both think that Russia's involved. And they talk about the Roman Catholic Church, he does. He said we need to think about that because Pope Francis was speaking at the UN, if you remember that, and he says the Roman Catholic Church supports Russia and Putin. I don't know about that. But the Russia is certainly in the news again. Remember from the Ukraine, they've got a base there now. In Cyprus, they've got a base there now. In Syria, Russia is now surrounding Turkey. And so Russia's coming into Turkey. And also, if you know Greece is over here.
Mm.
And you know how Greece is such a weak link in the European Commonwealth?
Mm. Mm. It's all about money.
He's predicting that maybe Russia will just hang around until they need something, and then Russia will come and get Greece. And so then Russia will be here, here, and here, and all around. And they've already taken Cyprus. So it's very interesting to see all that. Now, I just want to say, the interest I've got is, I read this, would you believe, I read the markets, because on the front page of the paper, I've never read the markets, there was a point saying,
Wall Street Journal,
saying that President Vladimir Putin is talking to Russia about the commodity markets in the Russian, the oil and the oil price. So Russia is talking to Turkey about their oil and everything. And also, yes, so then there's all this marketing and trading going on, so it's all very interesting. Well, I just thought that was very interesting. I hope you found it interesting.
Mm.
Now we see all that's happening in the Middle East. We have hope. But we are called to give hope to the world. So we're called to give the hope out. Not just by talking about Nebuchadnezzar's image or these prophecies, but by giving people a sense of belonging. What it is to be loved by God, to belong to Him as we do. Many people are lonely and lost, and we can help and respect and give and love. And show them about God and His plan for His people and His world. Thank you.